I love that last song, you know, love came down. And that is what we're about, what this morning is about. It's a demonstration of God's love. But it's more than that, actually, because there's commitment involved this morning, there's relationship involved this morning, and there's trust. And that's not only with our Heavenly Father, but that is with family, as parents, as the church family. All those elements of love, commitment, relationship and trust have been taking place, but are going to continue to take place. And, So, Sam took these, didn't she? Yeah, well done, Sam. Yeah. So we all got, so this morning, it's going to involve emotion as well. And you might say, what? Emotion in a church? Surely not. Surely church is about religion, it's about law, it's about do's and don'ts. It's a building. Where does emotion come in to church? And you know, I used to think that before I was, before I gave my life to Jesus, my impression of church from what I'd seen on the telly and what I'd heard didn't exactly stir me to get up on a Sunday and go. And that's no disrespect to them, it just felt like a load of laws and religion. But that's not his church. His church, I have learned, is not like that. It's made up of people. Yes. Beautiful people. Lovely people. And that is what Rugeley Community Church is. It's not a building. It's people. It's a family that loves and honours and fellowships and laughs together and cries together. It's a family that is learning to demonstrate the love, grace and mercy that Jesus has shown us. So, this morning, we're coming to dedicate Levi Plows. Now, why are we doing that and not a baptism? Because, as we all know, some churches do baptisms. They do christenings. They get sprinkled with water and they get blessed. We don't do that. So why don't we do that? Well, I just wanted to go through a little bit of why we don't do that. And then we're going to dedicate Levi. Oh, he's moved. He's being very good at the moment. We pray that all the way through. Okay. So here's some reasons why we don't baptize, why we don't do christenings, why we don't christen babies. The first is, there's no incidence of that in the Bible. And we believe the Bible is our plumb line, our guideline. And we didn't see that in the Bible, in Scripture. Because in Scripture, when any time that anyone was baptized, the requirement was always of repentance and faith. And I'm sure Levi can do a lot of things, but he can't actually physically do that at this young age. It's impossible for him to do. And again, in Scripture, when it came to baptism, the people that were getting baptized were coming from a context of forgiveness of sins. And babies are not capable of sinning. What I mean by that, they're not capable of breaking God's law or repentance from that law if it is broken. And then finally, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo, which means to dip, to plunge, to submerge. Now, that means full immersion. I'm no scientist, but from those words, I get it means full immersion. It's not a sprinkle. You know, Jesus didn't save us with a sprinkle. He gave his all for us. And the Message Bible says this. Now, I'm going to use the Message and I'm going to use the New International Version. The Message Bible is just put into a more modern day language. It's made simple. I like simple things. I do. Oh, you too, yeah. I thought you said you do. I said, yes, I do. Yeah. All right, so don't be that honest with me this morning. Yes. And this is how the message puts 1 John 3:16. This is how we come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his love for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. So Jesus didn't just sprinkle us. It wasn't some sort of pixie dust that he did for us. He gave his all for each and every one of us. And baptism is intended as an evidence of that inward work, of that Christian faith that is within us. So that full immersion into water symbolizes what has happened to us on the inside in repenting of our sins and putting our faith in Jesus. So this full immersion is an expression of what Jesus has done for us and with us. And Paul refers to it in Romans 6:4 like this. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Now, in November, we're going to have a baptism. And where these fine folk are sitting now, that will be impossible unless they want to sit on water. And what we'll see there is just the outward working public statement of what Jesus has done in someone's life. As they go down into the water, it's like that they've died with Christ. But thankfully, Christ didn't not then finish there. He overcame sin and death. So after 3 or 4 minutes, we shall bring them back up. Now you're getting very nervous now. No. We shall bring them back. And that's just coming into the new life of Jesus. So why then bother with dedication? I can hear you all asking that question. Why are we doing this morning? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever given your children back to God? Now, I know some here, and I've had times when thinking, well, no, Richard, but I sure would like to. But I didn't think God would want to take them back. You know, I thought he had a no return policy with children. And anyway, I've lost the receipt. So there's no way that he's going to take that. Because if the truth be known, I don't believe there's a parent in here who's not had a moment, a day, or unfortunately perhaps a season when they would have liked to package their lovely child up and just sent them back to God, to his customer care service counter and say, I want my money back. No, I'm not suggesting that this morning. That's not what I'm saying by have we given our children back to God. What I'm asking is, have you ever recognized that our children are a precious gift from God? And that they ultimately and always belong to him first, not to us. And why do I say that? The psalmist puts it like this, and I love Psalm 139. He says, for you created my innermost being. That you is God. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And then he goes on to say, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that amazing? I have trouble getting my head around that. But when my heart responds to that, I have no trouble at all. So, dedication is releasing the ownership of our children. So today, it's John and Wyatt releasing their ownership of Levi to God, understanding that he is responsible for the way that they were designed. Yes, that haircut, that hair, the way it's growing, John, is not slightly like yours. That is the way God has... It's not far off, but it's not... And that he has plans and purposes for Levi. Even before he was conceived, even before he was with form, God has plans and purposes for him. But dedication is also acknowledging that God has instructed us how we are to show and teach our children the way to go. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And if we look in the Bible, there are many instances and examples of parents who give their children back, who dedicate their children back to God. If you look at Hannah, Hannah's in the Old Testament, and she gave her child Samuel back to God. And she said this, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now, even Joseph and Mary, even Jesus' dad and mum, presented him as an infant in the temple back to God. It says in Luke 2:22-23, when the time of purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And that's what this morning is about. That's what John and Luana have a desire to do this morning. They're dedicating Levi as an act of giving themselves and Levi fully to the Lord. And if you didn't know that, you know that now. No, you do know. But listen, dedication is not a waterless baptism. What we're doing this morning doesn't save him. And it doesn't add one thing to his spiritual standing before God. Every child, dedicated or not, must at some point in their life receive Christ as their own Lord and Saviour for themselves, if they are to be saved. We have all made that decision individually ourselves. So John and Luana are looking for Levi to be dedicated. Why? Well, one, because they're recognising that children are from the Lord. And as Christians, they understand that all they have is given to them by God. What they have is not theirs. It is his. And one day, they, and like all of us, will have to answer to God for all that he has given us, all the gifts that he has given us. And he will ask, how did you manage those gifts, Richard? That's a challenge to us all. The gifts that he has entrusted into our care. The gift of Levi that he's entrusted to John and Luana into their care. Dedicating is a humble act of worship as they are acknowledging God's complete lordship over all they are and have. And secondly, John and Luana are seeking and looking for God to bless Levi's life. Just as people brought little children to Jesus that they wanted him to touch and bless them, so they are doing likewise. Mark 10:13-16 says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. But John and Luana are making a vow this morning as well. They're making a sacred vow to lead Levi by the hand in the ways of the Lord. And this is a serious act. Because according to King Solomon in the Old Testament, he said, it is better not to vow than vow and pay not. So when John and Luana stand before the church, and more importantly before the Lord, in dedicating Levi, they are publicly vowing to train him in the ways of the Lord. And this is far more than a one-off religious experience or act. It is more than promising just to bring Levi to church while he's young. This is a vow that they're making to live their life as Christians, as disciples of their Lord and Saviour, to teach him his word and to help him and lead him to faith in Jesus. This is a lifelong commitment that they are making this morning. Now, while the responsibility to raise Levi sits squarely on your shoulders this morning, this dedication is also an opportunity for family. It's good to have Angela, John's sister, here. And sorry, I didn't ask your names. Lee. Yeah, welcome. And you're over from South Africa, enjoying our warm weather. Yeah, good. Well, welcome. Yes. This is an opportunity for you to voice your support and in taking your responsibility. But it's also an opportunity for church family to be involved, to voice your commitment in taking responsibility to support and encourage and hold John and Luana accountable in love to their vow to raise Levi in the ways of the Lord. Okay. Alan, can you go get, we're going to have the children because we want to be, this is family. Now, we're not going to get all serious and legalistic and religious. This is all part of the flow of the love of Jesus. So, there. Oh, isn't that? I'm sure I heard Levi say, "Dad, this guitar's not tuned," when he had an ear to that. At first, I thought it was John. And I thought, I hope he's not going to worship like that when he comes on a Sunday. We like freedom, but we don't like that much freedom. Okay? So, okay. I just want to wait for the little ones to come in because they're important. They're part of this. So, while we're doing that, John, Luana, and Levi, if you'd like to come up. That's a great picture, that. Well done, Sam. I'm interested if you Velcroed Levi to the guitar to make him stay there. I can't quite work how you managed that. No, you're all right. You're okay. Okay. I've said this before to the family. I love the move of the Spirit. I love all these new haircuts. I love the move of the Spirit, but I also like, and I believe there should be godly orders to everything. So there's something I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to pray a specific way because I want the blessing of the Lord to be upon you guys as family, okay? Are we all here? Who's not here? Ah, okay. Oh, yes. Be good to have them. And we're going to do this a certain way, but you are going to be involved, okay? Because we are family together. All right, Jackie? You getting ready to come up? You're good. Okay. Let's pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your love came down. I thank you that your love is here this morning. And Lord, we come at the invitation of John and Luana to share in this very precious, and I would say serious and yet joyous occasion. It's always a joy when new life comes to bless a home. And this home has been blessed by the birth of Levi. We thank God for his birth and for his growth, particularly his growth, over these last few months. Since God has been gracious to John and Luana, we gather here today to dedicate the home of John, Luana, and especially Levi to our great and wonderful God. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to need tissues? We've got plenty? Yeah, okay, you're okay. That's good. Now, I'm going to do a request to the parents first, and they will set the tone of how then you will respond in a few minutes, okay? So, John and Luana, will you provide Levi an opportunity to get to know God, to live in this kingdom that Jesus announced in Mark 10 as he grows up?
Yes, we will.
You will. Good. That's the right answer. That's good. Will you do all you can to provide Levi a loving, committed, supportive family environment?
We will.
Okay, and then finally, will you gradually and intentionally teach Levi from his childhood to help him make wise and godly decisions throughout his life?
We will.
Amen. Okay. Now is an opportunity for family and church family to verbalise their support to John and Luana. And John's family have excellently demonstrated how we're going to do this. So when it comes, not you guys yet, when you come, I know you're keen, but not yet. When it comes to you, you will do exactly the same. So I'm going to ask you guys, okay? Will you be a support and a help to John, Luana and Levi without intruding? Oh, an important one. By helping Levi to grow, to mature, and by helping to meet his physical needs. Great, excellent. Are you hearing all that, Levi? That's great. Okay, now, when I say church family, I mean from youngest to oldest. So you need to stand. Because this is your act, if you can. Don't worry if you can't, Helen. Beyond her. You're right. I'm not going to argue when you've got that stick. Okay. Okay. Now, when you're responding to this, you're not doing it because it's law. We're doing this from the heart, okay? And you're making a vow before God. Will you support John and Luana without intruding as they fulfill their promises made before God? And church family said?
We will.
All right. Will you help Levi grow and mature spiritually in these ways? And church family said?
We will.
Okay. As we're all standing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a glorious sight today. A devoted and blessed parent stand before you, Lord. And a gift of infinite value that you have entrusted into their care. We celebrate with them this morning and pray that you will fill John and Luana with an abundance of wisdom. Enable them to be parents that will make the difference of a lifetime in Levi's life. Help them, Father, to stay in tune with your Holy Spirit as you provide them with internal guidance system that they and Levi need. Bless their home with warmth, provision and safety. Fill their families and extended families with your love, experiencing your kindness, mercy and hope. Prepare Levi for the abundant life that he can only find in you. As your church, we open ourselves in a fresh way to be used by you to help shape and encourage this family. We pray this in the name of the one who blesses children as no other can, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, John and Luana have asked some people to come up to pray and to bless the family. I just say if others have words of encouragement, verses, prophetic words, then can I ask you to write them down and give them to them after. But those that they have asked and invited to come up, would you like to come up now? Is there any that you may have forgotten that you need to, or you're okay?
Says that he gently leads those who have young. So, Father God, in this important task as parents, I just pray that John and Luana will know your gentle leading as they seek to bring Levi up. And Father, I just pray for Levi that he will know what it is to be a true worshipper of God. So I thank you for this family. Bless them.
Father, I just want to thank you for John and Luana. I just want to thank you for their giftings. And I want to thank you for their servant hearts, Father. I just want to thank you that you brought them together in this place. And I want to thank you for the gift that you've blessed them with in Levi. Father, as parents, I pray that you give them the knowledge, the wisdom, the love, and the patience to bring Levi up in a God-centered household in this fallen world. Father, we raise Levi to you. Father, as he grows, I pray he may experience the full richness of the love of Jesus Christ and his mercy. Father, raise him up to be a man of God. Use him, Father, to grow your kingdom and glorify your name. In Jesus' name.
Father, I also thank you for the blessing that John Luana brought to us all, and in particular the arrival of Levi. And I've written these down, these notes for you. And this is initially really to you too. And the first is from Isaiah 40:11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. In the early stages of parenting Levi, you may find it difficult to regularly read your Bible over the next few weeks, months, or even years. It's probably not the time to start a detailed study of the Bible at the moment, but in it you will find your needs met for words of encouragement, guidance, and reflection upon your new role as parents. You may sometimes feel that you've lost God for a while, but be reassured he has not let go of you. Being a parent will enable you to reflect on your relationship as a child of God through your ongoing relationship with Levi, right through his formative years, through being a teenager, as you've heard from Richard earlier, into adulthood, and ultimately for life. Everything you do together will have parallels in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, and he will speak to you through that. In becoming a parent yourselves, you will really begin to understand and realize God's parent heart for all of us. Look at your wonderful new son, and you will know some of the marvel, acceptance, delight, and in particular, unconditional love that our Father has for each and every one of us. Remember that the tiring, exhausting, and difficult times will not last forever. God will lead you through them as you lean on him. When you need more sleep, take it, and take it when you can, because God understands. Don't put pressure on yourselves to think, I ought to do this, I ought to do that, I ought to do the other, too often. Remember, from Matthew, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus offers rest just as much to new parents as he does to anyone else. He may not instantly give you a sleeping baby, or a peaceful baby, or an empty washing basket, but he will be true to his word and honour your turning to him, especially when you're in the midst of difficulty. And this next bit is really for Levi, and I'm not going to read it all, because ironically I've got Psalm 139 as well, for you created my innermost being. What I would say is this, so that's in this as well. Being fearfully and wonderfully made in particular. By now, you'll have had numerous times when you've held Levi on your lap and looked into his face and enjoyed that special moment when both your eyes have met and his gaze is fixed on your face. And you'll have examined with wonder his tiny fingers and toes, his ears, his nose, every single fine detail of his hair and his skin. We are always perfectly made in God's sight, and our days have already been written in his book. God does not make mistakes, and he would not have given you Levi if he'd not believed that you would be the best parents to meet all the needs in his life. So here's a short prayer for you and for Levi. And this in particular really is for you too. But this is, I'll read it out anyway. Lord, help us to remember that you have not entrusted us with Levi without your resources, your wisdom, your support, your understanding, and in particular, your love and your joy. Remind us to know that you, as our Heavenly Father, are always right beside us as we parent Levi. Teach us to appreciate what we have in Levi as parents before time forces us to appreciate what we had. Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus for these three wonderful members of our church and ask for your blessing and abundance on them both, now and always.
I want you to know that I am with you always as well. But I've got a bit of it in there, but I can't read it. But it's for you, for him. So that's what you've got to do with him. It's all right, but that is it. But I want to pray in tongues. Koe rama suiri garare ama. Koe re ama, kore kere ke ama. O khata ma suiki te ama soia. Koe rama suiki ata te ama. O rama suiki te a, ke rama suiki ama. E ata te ama suiki, e ata rama suia. E ama.
This is for Levi. I was thinking about the young people in the Bible, and the Lord brought me to somebody you might not think of, but this word is for you, Levi. It's not what you cannot do, but what you can do that matters. It is being available to God. And the person that I had was this young girl in 2 Kings 5, and we think of Naaman, who... when he was in need, she said, if only you would go to the prophet and he would heal you. Her name is not known. And it isn't that you will, may you be a servant to God in the way he wants you to be. May it be that perhaps your name is never known, but there will be rejoicing in heaven. Because what have you done in a servant way to the Lord? Remember, God's ways are not always our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'd just like to say that Jackie was really expressing how she loved God and was thankful that he'd given you Levi, and that he wants to bless your family. She was just full of thanks for that. I've written down mine on a card anyway, but I just want to pick out one thing, that we are going to be a listening ear for you, Eric and myself, whenever you need a listening ear. Okay? But also one verse in Psalm 100, I've got another verse as well, but that's already been said. If you read the whole of Psalm 100, it's all about God's goodness. But this thing struck me. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. And this Levi is a new generation. And God will be faithful to him. And his goodness will follow him all the days of his life.
Father, I just want to thank you that Levi is created in your image. That within him already there is something which is after your nature. And Father, I pray for your wisdom and strength for John and Luana to cause to grow the very nature of you in Levi. Father, that they would recognize the good in him and foster that. And for those things that need correction, they would recognize those and bring correction where correction's needed. Father, I pray that you give them the wisdom and grace that that task needs. And Father, that as Levi matures, that with your help, they would cause Jesus to be fully revealed in him as his life is given and dedicated to serving you. Father, we ask for your blessing on them as a family now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And we want to release you guys. I think you have work to do. And Ross, can you get it's not moving forward. No. Okay, I just want to close by touching on something I said at the beginning. And about this morning has been a demonstration of love. It's been a demonstration of John and Luana's love for Levi. It's been a demonstration of their love towards their Heavenly Father. That's it, great, thanks. But it's also been a demonstration of love for that family have brought in coming, standing and supporting with John, Luana and Levi. And also that demonstration of love as church family together. Now, there's a myth that says love is uncontrollable. That it sometimes just happens to us. In fact, you know, even the language we use towards love implies the uncontrollability of love. You know, we say, I fell in love. And it's like love is some sort of ditch that you just happen to be there. And you fall in love. It's like I was walking along one day and bam, I just happened to fall in love. And I just had this impression of, you know, you'd be walking down and all of a sudden people are going, oh, you know, oh, there's another one falling in love. And Cupid's arrow, you know, hits us in the heart. I just couldn't help myself. But you know, the truth is that's not love. I know the films and the television tell us that is, but that's not love. Love doesn't just happen. This morning hasn't just happened. We've not all just fallen in here by some coincidence. See, I say that because love is a choice. It's a commitment. Love represents a commitment that needs to be made. But it just doesn't stop there because it's more than a commitment. Love is a commitment and it is also an action. And the results of deliberately applying them daily. The commitment part is this. I care for you. I value all of you. I care about your soul, your spirit, your body, your relationships, your dreams, your destiny. It's what John and Luana have been doing this morning in demonstrating their, not only their love, but in that love, their commitment and by action for him. And the action part is this. It's demonstrating care and value in many ways. Through the many situations that you will walk with Levi and get to know him over time, those actions of love will make him not just understand, but know in his heart that he has parents that love him and will do anything for him. You know, I believe that every single person on this planet has the same basic need to be loved. And sometimes that gets shown in ways of destruction when they can't find that love. They turn to other things, other substances, because they crave love. You see people doing things that you think, why have you done that? And yet sometimes it's just that cry of help because they need that basic, insatiable. They have an appetite that's there with us when we're born, created. That life-giving love, that true, genuine love. Because we're without love and care, we wither and lose heart. We were made to love. We were created to love because it comes from our Creator, our Lord. 1 John 4:7-10 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. See, God isn't some sort of ditch, some emotion. God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us, among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. As we've seen this morning, yes, love does involve powerful emotions. They may accompany love, but it is the commitment of the will that holds true love steadfast and unchanging. We all know what our emotions are like. They change and they vary, not just from day to day, sometimes from hour to hour. But a commitment to love, which has its basis in God's love, endures and will not be affected by whims or emotions or circumstances. God demonstrated that true love is a matter of will, not of emotion. And how did he demonstrate that? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us enough to die for us and pay our sin debt while we were still sinning, breaking his law against him. He chose to love us with a love that is a combination of commitment and action. So in finishing, we used to be in a church in London when a certain person would say, and in finishing, you knew you had another half an hour. I can guarantee you've not got another half an hour. 29 minutes, I've timed it from there to there. So. No, I'm not. You know, when Jesus gave his followers a new command on the night of his arrest, it was of major significance. And it summed up his ministry here on earth. Jesus said, "A new command I give you. Love one another." And when you take that love in the context of it's not an emotion, it's not something you fall into, it is a choice. It is a commitment. It is an action. That brings the significance of what Jesus was saying to us. Because he wasn't saying to this as out of theory. This is what Jesus was demonstrating to each and every one of us. Because then he says, "As I have loved you, so you must." Not so on occasions, odd days, when there's an R in the month. You must love one another. And this is the essence of the new covenant of grace. We all live under grace. And it says this, "I will love you first, unconditionally, wholeheartedly, unreservedly." Long words. But words without commitment and action are meaningless. So that you can allow that very same love to pour forth through you to one another. That's the wonderful thing about God's love. Yes, it changes and affects us, but it's a love that we then give away to those around us. It puts us in situations, it puts us with people who we would never be able to honour and love and fellowship with in our own strength. But we do it through the love that we know that Jesus has for us. 1 Corinthians 13. It's widely used at weddings. It's about love. And Barclay's New Testament puts verse 4-8 like this. It says, "Love is patient with people. Love is kind. There is no envy in love. There is no proud claims. There is no conceit. Love never does the graceless thing, never insists on its rights, never irritably loses its temper, never nurses its wrath to keep it warm. Love finds nothing to be glad about when someone goes wrong, but is glad when truth is glad. Love can stand any kind of treatment. Love's first instinct is to believe in people, but never regards anyone or anything as hopeless. Nothing can happen that can break love's spirit. Love lasts forever. You know, love always wins. Why? Because it is the greatest change agent that is on this earth. It's one of the three things that the Bible, that God's living word tells us, remains forever. Faith, hope, love. And you know what's even more remarkable? God won't force his love upon anyone. It's a choice. Because in love, there has to be free will. Otherwise, that's not love. That's back to law. That's back to suppressment. That's back to not having free will. Jesus freely went to the cross for each one of us. So God won't force his love. He wants relationship. So can I ask by finishing? Where's your heart this morning? Perhaps it's in a place of emotion and turmoil. Maybe it's in a place that's never experienced the love of our Heavenly Father. Maybe it's in a place that's never committed to a relationship with him, because that's what he wants. He's not a God of do's and don'ts. He wants a relation, a living relationship with us this morning. Perhaps you do know him. Perhaps you know him, and yet you know in your heart that's grown a bit cold. Wherever your heart is this morning, God wants you to know that his love never regards anyone or anything as hopeless. And you say, I don't know if I can believe that. And God says, just trust me. Don't understand it. Just trust him. Look at what he's done for you. Because there's nothing that can happen that can break love's spirit. Because his love lasts forever. And what does that mean? His commitment and his actions for you last forever. He placed his son upon the cross for each one of us. But this morning, we each have a choice as to whether we walk that relationship with him. Because his love is not about force. It's not about judgment. His love was to send his only son so that we could know that everlasting love and relationship with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of life. We thank you that you created us and formed us. Lord, even before we were conceived, Lord, you knew and know the plans and purposes you have for us. You know our lives, you know our tomorrows as much as you've known our yesterdays. And let you still chose to send your son for us. Lord, we thank you for Levi Ploughs this morning. We thank you for your wonderful hand of creation. We thank you for the way that you have demonstrated your love this morning in speaking words of affirmation over him. We thank you for John and Luana and the commitment they've made, the vow that they've made, not because they have to or because they should, but because they want to, Father, because they love you and know that you love them. I thank you, Father, that your love is a demonstration. It's not a feeling, it's not emotion. Lord, though there may be those involved in it, Lord, at its root, it has commitment and action. So, Father, I pray, wherever our heart is this morning, Lord Jesus, will you come afresh with your love? And may we know that, Father, wherever we are, whoever we are, that you never regard anyone or anything as hopeless. Because, Lord, we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. So, Lord, we commit this morning to you. And, Lord, perhaps there's those here that want to know more of you. Perhaps there's those here that realize that maybe their love has cooled for you. And, Lord, you're not going to stand there and judge. You're going to just be there with open arms and say, come back to the Father again. Come and know the living God, like no earthly father. So, Lord, I ask you, will you put relationships right this morning? Will you make us and help us to make right choices this morning as we celebrate the wonderful life and birth of Levi Plowse? In Jesus' name, amen.